I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
If you would, go ahead and turn, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The book of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read this first bit of text out of the New King James Version. I normally read it out of the New Living Translation, but there was something the way it was said here in the New King James Version that I really wanted to emphasize today. I just believe it was really accurate in its translation here for us. So, the book of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Amen. Father God, I just thank you for your word today. Lord, I ask that you just reveal your word and your truth to all of us today, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, I've been talking a little bit, you know, the first week of December and this week, you know, about when Jesus was born, you know, as Helen just sang about, when Jesus Christ came, what did he bring? You know, he brought peace. I preached about the first week of December, he brought joy, amen? And today I want us to see that it says that we have received grace. And I like the way it was translated here in verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. Even if you look at some of that translation, it means grace upon grace. And it's very important that we understand what grace is. See, when the Word, which was Jesus Christ, came to the earth, grace and truth came with him. So we have to ask ourselves, what is grace? Do we give grace as freely as we've received it? Do we operate in grace? Do we understand grace? You know, grace has been, over the last decade, something that has been confused by many. There's been a lot of teachings that have not been accurate when it comes to grace. Because even though that Christ came and gave us grace, which is true, you know, that there are some things that we are held accountable to when it comes to grace. And so it's important that we have a proper understanding of what grace is. Grace is so important, you know, that we have to have a complete understanding of it. But, you know, we don't understand it a lot because we've not received it fully and we don't give it freely. How many of you ever had come in contact with somebody that was really upset and it was, let's go a little step further and say it was your fault? You knew why they were upset, and they had a right to be upset. And they were just upset, and they were giving you the what for, and, you know, just really going at it. And you were going, okay, all right, I'm giving you a little grace because I understand. You know, we give some, I'm giving you a little leeway, you know, because I understand where you're coming from. Anybody ever been there? But then we're always like this, but don't you push it too far, right? You've said your piece. Right? But now you better watch your mouth. We quickly go from, I'm going to give you a little bit of grace, to, you better watch your mouth, I'm going to knock you out. Right? You know? Not just you. You're leaving me up here by myself today. Okay. Appreciate that. You know? But we do. We get in this thing where we're going to give you some grace, and then it's like all of a sudden grace is done gone. You it's out the window. Maybe we do it with our kids. Huh. Step on some toes today. We get our kids, we're giving them some grace. Well, okay, you know, they're not feeling well. Or, okay, you know, they went to grandma's house and they got a lot of sugar. And so you give them a little grace to act up a little bit. Then all of a sudden you're like, okay, and you just, you unleash on them. Grace done went out the window. You know, no, I'm not preaching to anybody but me today. All right, I get y'all. You're leaving me out here to dry. You know, and today's school system, I'm blown away because they have this grace period. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When I was in school, that didn't exist. Especially when you were homeschooling, your mom was your teacher. I mean, you thought you could have some grace there. No. But now, I mean, all of a sudden I get with my kids and they don't turn in this homework or don't do this and got a bad grade on a test. And then the teacher's like, that's okay, you can take it again. What? That didn't happen when I was in school. You know, didn't turn in your homework. Well, it's okay, you know, as long as you get it in before the end of the semester. What? Where do we get grace periods in school like this where people just have unlimited time of grace? You know, I don't remember that ever happening. If I didn't turn something in, I got a zero. And they didn't go back and excuse it or let me just make it up just because I forgot. You know? But nowadays, when I pull up, you know, my kids' things from school, I begin looking and all this other stuff's not turned in. Well, I can turn it in anytime. What? No, you can't. It was due. Turn it in. You know, I want them to give them a bad grade just so I can ground them. I'm like, give me something fun to do. Let me take, you know, but now we give, there's these grace periods for everything. You know, and it's trained the world to operate in grace periods that aren't healthy for us. Because even though God did give us grace, there's times where we have to be serious about the business of God. He's given us times of grace, but now there's times that we have to be serious about the grace that he has given. See, we operate in limited grace with people. But the word of the Lord says we've received grace upon grace. But we don't give grace upon grace. Because we don't always understand it. See, God gives us grace without limits. And sometimes we take advantage of that. Imagine today if I just passed out unlimited credit cards. Whoo! Church would be full. These live stream people would be running down here, you know, just to get their unlimited credit card. And some of you, though, would take that unlimited credit card and be very responsible with it. Only buy what you need, still live within your means. And then all of a sudden, some of you next Sunday would drive up in a Ford F-250, you know, lift it off the ground, spinners on it, and everything else under the sun, you know, because, well, I got an unlimited card. I'll use it freely. Man, do we treat God's grace like an unlimited credit card? I'll do what I want, have what I want, because I can say what I want, because I'm just going to swipe it at the end of the day. God's got grace. His grace, was this his grace that covered a multitude of sin? His grace is sufficient for me. Sometimes we need God's grace and we take advantage of it. Sometimes we need it day by day, and others we need it moment by moment. But see, in the Old Testament, the time of Moses, it says that grace was given through the law. Was given through the law. That's why here it says, you know, that it was through, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 8 tells us that. It says, for by grace you are saved. By grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Because see, in the Old Testament, when you had the law, you had to work to make the sacrifice. You had to work to do things to atone for your sins. But through Jesus Christ, you've been saved by his grace. That's a beautiful thing. We've taken something beautiful that God gave us and corrupted it in the world. grace that Jesus gave us is beautiful. And we need God's grace. In the New Testament, I want to show you this. In the New Testament, grace translated in the Greek is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis, which means favor, blessing, or kindness. But I want to show you this because I talked about joy too. So because of his charis, grace, we can charo, C-H-A-R-I-O, rejoice, and have chara, C-H-A-R-A, joy. So because of his charis, we can charo and have chara. That is exactly what God gave us. He gave us the gift of grace so that we can rejoice and have joy. Look at how those words are just rooted together. They go together because you can't, if you have grace, then you should rejoice and have joy, great joy, because of grace that God gave you. The grace that he said, I will forgive those that lived in sin. I will forgive those when you come to know me. Through Jesus, we've been atoned by his grace. Do you know that grace is waiting for every single person? But they have to come through that grace through Jesus. They want the grace without going through Jesus. Because see, there's the part that they get wrong when it talks about grace, is that you have to come through Jesus, and if you go through Jesus, it changes you. Because you can't live the way you lived if Jesus is now in your heart. We have to change. We have to change. Something about us changed when we asked Jesus into our heart. We feel a little different. We act a little different. And if you don't, maybe you haven't asked Jesus into your heart. Because we should be different. He's called us to be different. But I want to talk to the church today about how we have abused God's grace. This is for the Christians. This is for the church. See, oftentimes when I preach, it's easy to dismiss things and go, well, he's talking about all them sinners. Yeah, I am today talking to all them sinners. But all them sinners are sitting right here. Because I want to tell you five things that I've seen that we have done to abuse God's grace. And if we learn of these things, we can't do them anymore. Amen? All right. How we've abused God's grace. Number one, some people, not you of course, right, abuse God's grace by misunderstanding their own nature. What I mean by that, this is for those that think that they are above sinning. You misunderstand your own nature, and so many people think, well, I'm above that. I don't do that anymore. You know, I got saved. I've been in the church 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. And we say, well, I don't sin anymore. You know? Well, maybe you don't commit the same sins you used to commit, which is good. Amen. But have you ever lied? Been rude? Oh, man, this time of year, how many people get rude? Holy cow. Go try to go shopping. Go try to eat out and wait someone wait on you. Man, you can find out how rude people get. We get rude. Unforgiveness. We still have things that we deal with. And when we act these ways and we speak harshly to people, do we ask for forgiveness? Well, you know, I don't cuss them out anymore. Wait, are you still, you're still maybe rude? You still belittle, talk down, don't treat them with kindness, don't show love. Just because you ain't the same filth you were doesn't mean you don't have a little bit of dirt on you. But we misunderstand our own nature, and because we do that, we cheapen God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. See that through grace comes power. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, Paul says, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So even as believers, even as Christians, we can't misunderstand or misuse our own nature. We are weak. We have weaknesses. Amen? So that means if we have weaknesses, we still fall to sin. We still need God's grace. In those moments, God shows himself strong. What's the worst thing about it is someone that feels like they know everything that there is to know. You can't be so sanctified that you still don't fall into some sin. I'm sorry if you've heard that, you can somewhere else. They're wrong. You are not so sanctified that we don't still have bitterness at times in our heart, jealousy, anger. We have to get those things, subdue those things, but God can, in that weakness, make himself strong. Amen? So we can't misuse God's grace or abuse it by our own misunderstanding. Number two, some people abuse God's grace by practicing unforgiveness. The Word of God says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. I want you to know you are more like God and in line with his character when you freely forgive. When you forgive, you're more like God. You are more in line with the character of God. And you are less like God when you will not forgive, when you'll hold bitterness towards someone else. You're against his character when you won't forgive. God wants us to forgive. We've received the grace for him to forgive us, but yet we don't want to freely give it. Well, you don't know what they did to me. That's the number one thing. I've been mistreated. We can break into a country song. I've been lied to, you know. We see all these things and we say, you don't know, so I don't have to forgive them. I'm justified. Do you know what they did to Jesus? How they spit in his face and pulled his beard out and whipped him on his back and nailed him to a cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now are you justified and you don't know what they did to me? You don't know what I've been through? If Jesus can go through what he went through and say, I forgive them, then we got to forgive. We abuse God's grace if we won't offer forgiveness. I'm telling you, if you have unforgiveness, it's only holding you back. It's not holding that person that you have unforgiveness against. It's not holding them back. They may not know. They may not care. I'm sorry to say that. But the only thing it holds is holding back is you and your relationship with the Lord. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. So people want to talk about unlimited grace, but what about that? What about if we have unforgiveness, we got to forgive to be forgiven? So we can't abuse God's grace by practicing unforgiveness. Number three. Christians abuse God's grace by presumptuous sin. What does this mean? Well, as a Christian, you are aware of God's grace and his forgiveness. So a presumptuous sin is when you know what is wrong and you do it anyway. You are abusing God's grace. If you say, well, I know this is wrong and I really shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because it satisfies my flesh. Because I want to. And we know God will forgive me. That's what we say. Well, God will forgive me. You're abusing God's grace. I mean, this world is full of grace abusers. Because they live their life doing whatever they want, saying, well, I can go and God has all this grace to, he'll forgive me, it doesn't matter. But see, if God has grace to forgive our sins, he has grace to steer us away from the sin. So he can steer you away from it. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, this high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That means grace is there to help you not fall into sin. But yet we just fall into sin and then say God's grace comes after the fact. His grace is there so we don't walk in sin. His grace is there so we don't fall into temptation. So we only want grace to cover our sin, not to steer us away. We're abusers of God's grace. Imagine him coming and say, you broke my heart because I gave this gift to you, this gift of grace, and you knew it was yours, but yet you abused it because you sinned anyway. You did what you wanted anyway. You broke my heart. I hope some people, they treat their spouses this way. I hope you would never do that. But they say, well, I'm just going to keep treating them ugly and be mean because I know they'll just keep forgiving me. That's abusing their grace. Amen. But he's given us grace to help us when we need it most, to steer us away from sin. Number four. Christians abuse God's grace by practicing a minimal form of Christianity. This one breaks my heart the most. Because people want just enough God to get them into heaven. I identify myself as a Christian and I know Christ, but I don't want to follow him. I want to be called a Christian. I want to have the assurance that I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to follow him. That means you don't want the blessings that God has for you. We abuse God's grace by just minimally doing the minimum to follow him. But that's where the church is. That's the status of many today in the church. They just do barely enough to get by. Just barely enough. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Paul is writing and he's saying, I want you to know that God's grace towards me is not in vain. It's not in vain. Is he going to look at you and say, my grace towards you was in vain? No. Paul says, his grace was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. God wants us to labor for him so that his grace isn't in vain, that when he died on that cross and he gave grace to all, that it wasn't for nothing, that we labor to tell people about Jesus, that we were witnesses for God, that we didn't minimally serve him. And we get to heaven and God says, well, how many people did you tell about me? Well, none. I didn't tell anybody about you, Jesus, but I learned enough. I learned enough to make it. I learned enough to make it. That's just minimal. But don't you want those that you love? Don't you want those around you, those that you know, to be with us in heaven? So we have to labor for that. We can't just be minimal to God's grace. Can't practice just minimal Christianity. We have to say it is by God's grace that we are saved, and we want to share that with everyone. Number five, Christians abuse God's grace by ignoring the Holy Spirit. You know, we abuse God's grace when we ignore the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, jumping to chapter 20, as Jesus is getting ready to to leave, and they found he's unrisen from the grave, and he comes and appears to his disciples. He says to them in verse 21, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." He gave a clear instruction for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know it is with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have that forgiveness I was talking about earlier? It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that sometimes we can go into situations that are difficult and hard, but God gives us the strength because he's with us. So we abuse God's grace and take advantage of God's grace when we say, what you gave, the gift you left for us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we don't want. We don't need. That is saying that just the grace you gave us was enough, but I don't want the rest. He gave us all of these things so that we could use them to our advantage. We could use them to witness to others. We could use them to change people's lives. We have to be willing to receive the Holy Spirit and operate in the Holy Spirit. It grieves me when there's churches that teach on grace but don't practice the Holy Spirit, don't allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in their services, but want to preach a message of grace. We have to understand. I want to take you to 2 Peter chapter 3, because those are the things we've done to abuse God's grace. But what do we do now? We don't want to just be abusers of God's grace. We want to move forward. Amen? We want to show God's grace to others. And 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to switch back to the New Living Translation. Here, Peter's talking of the second coming, the day of the Lord. And he's reminding them of the second coming of the Lord. And in verse 14, he says, "And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." If you know someone's not saved, then you say amen. The Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. "This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. But you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We have to grow in grace. So it's something that he said, as we wait for Jesus to come again, we have to grow in grace. So ask yourself, have I been growing in God's grace? Or did I just receive it for myself when I received Christ, when I accepted Jesus into my life, I received the grace and I haven't grown in it? Why is it that we don't grow in grace? What keeps us from growing in the things of the Lord? Keeps us, well, we want to have grace. Sometimes we see ourselves giving grace to other people, but not grace at home with our family, with our children, with our spouses, with our church people. Well, they said one thing wrong to me, and I'm never going back to that church again. We don't grow in grace. You know, we grow in offense. But he says, as we wait for these things, we must grow in grace. Here's why people don't grow in grace. Number one, they have a hard time receiving God's grace. If you're here today and you have a hard time receiving God's grace, it's because maybe you feel that you're undeserving of it. I want to let you know that none of us deserved it. That's why it's grace. None of us deserved it. If you're here and you said, there's been a roadblock in my life, I feel like I've just been stumped and I can't grow, then oftentimes it's because we haven't received God's grace for our life. There's still something we're holding on to in our life that says, this one thing I did and it's my fault and I'm holding on to it and no one will forgive me and no one, God will. His grace is for that. We have to receive God's grace completely. If you will receive God's grace and realize you may not be deserving of it, but it's for you anyway. If you receive it, you'll be able to give it. But the first thing we have to do is examine our hearts and ask, where have I not received God's grace in my life? What have I not let God's grace take care of that I'm still dealing with? All these other things where we're abusers of God's grace, we're abusers because we haven't fully received it. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've faced. But today, you can receive a complete grace upon grace. Grace that even when you didn't deserve it, God poured out grace anyway. He wants that for you. That was a gift he has for them. Number two, we have a hard time giving grace because we think the hurt is too deep. We've ranked their sin worse than my sin. It's a big problem that we see today is we have a hard time giving grace because we rank sin. I get frustrated at times, I guess disheartened at times when I see, you know, people that have done terrible things, and they're terrible things, but people go on and say, I hope, and it's oftentimes on Facebook, I wish you just don't do it. They get on there and they say, I hope they get what they deserve. Did you get what you deserved? Because I'm telling you, I don't deserve to be standing here right now preaching to you. I don't deserve to be the pastor of this church. I don't deserve eternal life for what I've done. But it doesn't matter what I deserve. God had grace. And he had the grace that he gave me, he has for you. But we rank their sin. People have done awful things. And I'm sure if I wanted to put a scale, I could say it was worse than mine, but maybe not in God's eyes. He just looks at it as sin. And he's not pleased. He's not pleased with any sin. And his grace is sufficient for all. But yet we have a hard time giving grace because we've ranked it. And it's hard because we live in a world of limits or conditions. You know, even when you look at that special person in your life and you say, I love you because. I love you because. Whatever, fill in the blank. You're implying conditions. I love you until. Oh, I love you until, some of you lies, I love you until the end of time. But really, you're saying, I love you until something else better comes. I'll love you until you don't meet my needs anymore. I'll love you until, implying limits. We say often, I love you unless, right? You understand, we are trained to have conditions. We have conditions on how we love people. We have conditions on whether we'll forgive people. We have conditions on whether we'll extend grace to them or not. Well, I'll extend grace over here to these, but this one over here, I mean, you don't know what he did. I mean, he did some awful things. So, I think God has to give a special level of grace to those that do prison ministry. Because they go in and face hard situations and people that have done hard and egregious things, but yet say, Jesus loves you. He doesn't love you because, he doesn't love you until, he doesn't love you unless he loves you. Do we feel that way about others? No, we want to change people. Well, I'll love you if you come into the church and then do this, this, and this. No, I love you. You're welcome here. Amen? Do we not welcome people into our life to begin to pour out Jesus' love over them? We can't have conditions because he didn't give conditions to us. He didn't say to us, well, I will pour out my grace and my forgiveness on you if you do this. No, he just said, if you come through Jesus, you're saved through Jesus by your faith. God loves us unconditionally, and he has given us grace upon grace. There's so many times we've seen God's grace. Even in the Old Testament, we saw grace given. You know, it was God's grace when Adam and Eve sinned that he put them out of the garden. He could have said, you sin, you did wrong, and I'll kill you now. I'll punish you now. But he actually had grace on them when he sent them out of the garden. You know, sometimes it's God's grace that sends us into things that are hard, that we have to face hard situations. But it's his grace, because if you don't go through something hard sometimes, nothing will change. We have to look at God's grace. But when he sent Jesus, he said, I have sent you now grace upon grace. He loves us unconditionally. His grace is unconditional for us. But we can't be abusers of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. We were singing about that earlier. Trust in him. He'll make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. This is how we must grow. But many times it says we got to grow. We got to grow in grace. We got to grow our roots deep. It's impossible for us to understand God's love if we're not growing in God's grace. I want to encourage you. This is a message of encouragement to understand God's grace for your life. If you're living in any of these ways that abuses the grace of God, stop. Stop today. If you're living a life that's just, I'm just serving God enough to get by, stop today. Would you come and play, Troy? I'm getting ready to close. If you're serving him just minimally, today make a decision that I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to serve God with my whole heart. With every being, with every fiber of my being, I'm going to serve him. If you're living a life of presumptuous sin, you're sinning knowing God will forgive you, stop. Stop. It's that easy, people. Because you're talking yourself into the sin anyway. You're sitting there saying, I know God's going to forgive me, so, you know, I'm going to do it anyway. Stop. We can't live like that. God's not pleased with that. Let's not be abusers of God's grace. But let's learn to grow in God's grace by giving it. By giving it. This is a perfect time at the holiday season to give grace to others. Give grace. Say, because I freely have received grace, I want to give grace. Man, I know that we've had this thing in our past and it's not been pretty, but I forgive you. And I just want to extend God's grace to you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Because Jesus loves you, I love you too. Do you know we should take it that next step? We should say, because Jesus loves you, I love you too. Do you love God's people? Do you know we're all God's people? Some of us just don't serve Him like we should. But maybe the only grace and love they ever see of Jesus is through you. We need to grow in God's grace. If you know you need to grow in God's grace, say, I need to grow in these things. Stand to your feet. I'm just going to pray a corporate prayer today right where you're at. I just want to pray for you. If you know you're dealing with unforgiveness, you haven't forgiven someone, you know you need to. I want you to just remember that as we make this prayer. And you don't just say it. Sometimes you got to go do it. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. But if we want to receive God's grace upon grace completely, we have to show it. We have to give it. Hallelujah. Would you just bow your heads? Because at this moment, I'm just going to ask you to search your heart. I'm just going to ask you to do inventory in your life and God, say, God, have I abused your grace? In any of these five areas, God, have I abused your grace? And if God, if I've abused your grace, forgive me today. Forgive me today, Father God, where I've abused your grace. Where I've took it for granted, Jesus. Where I did things that I knew were not pleasing to you, Father God. Forgive me. I know, God, I did things that were breaking your heart. I took your grace in vain. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone in my life that I haven't forgiven, reveal that to me, Lord, so that I can make amends, that I can forgive, that I can extend your grace and your love. God, if I have help each and every person that is here today that hasn't completely received your grace, that hasn't released every little thing in their life, things that they've been holding back, let them today receive your grace. God knows those things that have been holding you back, been hindering you, that the enemy has used to torment you. But God says His grace is sufficient for you. It's more than enough. Sufficient means it's more than enough. Hallelujah. Touch those today, God, that need sufficient grace. And Father God, those, help all of us to give grace more freely. Let us see the people in our lives, the people we come across, not through their sin, but through your love for them. Let us extend grace, not because they deserve it, not because we deserve it, but because you love them. God, and because you love your people, we love them too. Let us grow in grace. Let us grow in grace and in truth. And we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus that brought grace and truth into this world. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you received that today. I want you to grow in grace. Practice grace.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.